আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহি ওয়াহদাহু ওয়াসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলা মান লা নাবিয়্যা বা'দাহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহি ওয়াহদাহু ওয়াসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলা মান লা নাবিয়্যা বা'দাহু। ওয়া নাশহাদু আন লা ইলাহা ইল্লাল্লাহু ওয়াহদাহু লা শারীকা লাহু। ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر صدق الله العظيم. Hello my kiram, most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over the receivers. We know that we are coming very close to the days of Qurbani, and therefore it is appropriate that something should be also said with regards to Qurbani. However, this ayat or this surah of the Quran Sharif which I recited, we all know that it is the shortest surah of the Quran Sharif. And in fact, many of us have made it our habit that in all our sunnat namazes and nafil namazes, the only surah that we read is Inna A'tainakal Kawthar. Nevertheless, the meaning is very, very wide. And if we have to discuss all aspects of this surah, we can go on and on. But just to give you the gist, in which we have discussed one or two years ago, but as a repetition, to refreshen our minds and refreshen our iman. That Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that he was not survived by any male issue. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, of his children, only his daughters survived. His sons did not survive. After some time, they passed away. There was great wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, great hikmah of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And there was great consolation also in this for those people who are very, very desirous, they are very, very eager to have male issues. And there is nothing wrong with that. Even the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, they desired that there should be some male issue to continue with the mission. That was their whole intention behind seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala a male issue. But those people who have had some daughters and one son, and then that son passes away, then many a times we get those people suffering such kind of depression, as if Qiyamah has come. So there's consolation in whatever happened in the life of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's consolation for people that will be coming in his ummah. But we are not discussing that part of it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, as I said, that of his children only the girls survived, but his male issues, they passed away. Whatever was the hikmat and wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we are not discussing that. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He is all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was listening to the comments and the criticism and the mockery and the teasing and the laughing and the jeering of the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah. That they were teasing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they were reviling him, and particularly Az bin Wail and some others, that they were saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, there is no male issue that is surviving him. And this is a clear sign that you don't have to worry about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam's message. Of course, he did not believe in him as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. I am saying that. Otherwise, they said Muhammad is going to, he is not being survived by any male issue, so it's just a matter of time. As soon as he passes away, then this whole invitation that he is giving towards the deen of Allah, he is calling towards his nubuwwat, and he is inviting towards the Quran Sharif. Now all these things will all die down. As we say that that man is the man who is the kingpin of that business. He is the brain behind that business. He is the one who organizes and buys and sells and does everything. And the day that he is going to die, then they say that business is going to flop or collapse. Or sometimes they say that principal of that school or that college or that Darul Uloom, everything depends on him. Now that is our weakness, that we think that nobody is indispensable. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He knows in His wisdom what is best. So sometimes, even though that person may be a pious person, a righteous person, and leave righteous and pious person, even if that person is a Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, but sometimes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala removes or takes away that person early in his life, so that the people don't have their full aitimad and yaqeen and trust on that one person. They believe that this is the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and it will continue. They don't say that it is only because of that person that deen will survive. After the person leaves, it is the effort that the person has made, and especially the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, the effort that they make on the people, they train and leave behind such people who continue with the mission. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they were taunting that his male issues or children are not surviving, so therefore it is just a matter of time, after that he is going to pass away and then this whole deen of Islam is going to vanish. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives consolation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you do not have to be grieved. Allah Ta'ala was all the time giving consolation to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Difficulties, tests and trials were put on him, but at the same time he was given consolation. So that in the ummah when such kind of incidents arise, then they do not lose hope and trust in Allah Ta'ala. So he was told that you do not have to worry, we have given you Kawthar, literally which means abundance. And although it is mentioned and it is authentic riwayat that it refers to the river that is in Jannat, and just to give you the gist, on the day of Qiyamah people will be given from the well of Kawthar or the fountain of Kawthar drink. After that they will never ever feel thirsty on that day of Qiyamah. And the cups around that fountain will be more than the stars that twinkle in the heavens. And when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is going to give with his Mubarak hands, then we can imagine what kind of a drink that will be. But it will be for those people who obeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So without going again into the details of the fountain of Kawthar, we are talking about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, and if we have to take the literal meaning, abundance, that you do not have to be so grieved when they are reviling you, when they are criticizing you, or they are saying that after some time your progeny will be cut off, there will be no... And this is what they said, Abtar, and the person whose progeny is cut off. So he said, you do not have to be grieved because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given you Kawthar. And Kawthar is abundance. So what is just one child or two children or half a dozen children? There is nothing to be really concerned about, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is going to give you so many spiritual sons that they will continue passing on your message till the day of Qiyamah. And it was proven that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's companions, they loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam more than any child can love his father. Look at the love of the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that no son could love his father more than the way his companions loved him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to just indicate or make an ishara towards anything that has to be done, and the sahabas were ever willing to lay down their lives for Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And then not only that, but after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left this world, the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took that message to the corners of the world. And we are taking his name today because of the effort that the sahabas put into conveying this deen of Islam. So till the day of Qiyamah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give you such kind of spiritual sons who will be in abundance, plenty of them. And then of course it also can mean all the abundant bounties that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blessed Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with. The knowledge that Allah Ta'ala gave him in abundance. The generosity, the kindness, the forgiveness. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam's charities, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam's every kamal that you look at, it is in abundance. Nobody in the world can match. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam was given so much, so much. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that if this is the case, that we have given you this fountain of Kawthar, or we have given you abundance, abundance of everything. And also this issue that we are discussing, that his male children were passing away, so Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give you plenty of spiritual children until the day of Qiyamah. Now since you have got all these great, great bounties and ni'mats, so what should you be doing? Now the message is for us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no question of him not making ibadat or zikr or tilawat or obeying Allah Ta'ala. The message is for us. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Now although it's given directly to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so make salat. Turn towards your Rabb in prayer and make qurbani. Generally, it is the sacrifice of camels that is referred to as nahar, but it is also a general and wide meaning too. So, two things are said. Out of all the things, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that turn towards your Rabb in prayer, make salat, and make qurbani. Now, there is great meaning. Why did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala choose these two things? First of all, there is an information that is given, an announcement that is made that we have given you Kawthar. So immediately after that, make Salat and make Qurbani. Now Mufassirin have written so much, Muhaddisin have written so much, but in a few minutes, what can we really discuss? But Salat, if you look at it physically, it is the best and the highest form of Ibadat. It is the highest form of ibadat. The aspect of life which is most neglected, or that aspect of Sharia which is most neglected in the life of Muslims today, is Salat. We must not look at just our homes or a few people in our locality. And even in our locality, in our areas, in our communities, how many percent make 5 times Salat, and the men folk with Jamaat as far as possible, how many? Look at our masajid now in the summer months. Fajr time in most of the masajid. Look at the number of people that are frequenting the masjid. Here Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told that because of all these bounties and ni'mats that we have blessed you with, now turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in salat. Now was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam going to be negligent in the performance of salat? In other words, the shukr of all these bounties is your salat. Make your salat. That's the shukr of all these bounties. There are many other ways of making shukr also, but this is one of the major ways, and that is engage yourself in salat. Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not only making the 5 times first salat, and in the manner that we make, that we don't even know what we recited in the first rakat, second rakat, third and fourth of our sunnat and nafil namazes, or even when the imam is reading those surahs that we know. Sometimes we don't even know what happened in the ruku and sajda. Our mind is totally somewhere else, in the football ground, cricket ground, in our businesses, and especially in this month of Christmas. Every person's mind seems to be just outside the masjid also, although he is inside the masjid. On the day of Qiyamah, the 7 categories of people that will be given shelter under the throne of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, 1 category is of that person whose heart is attached to the masjid. So somebody said that how can a person's heart be attached to the masjid when he is in the bazaar and in the marketplace and in the college and university? How his heart can be in the masjid? So he said, just as how your heart is in the bazaar when you are in the masjid, just as our hearts are in the bazaar when we are in the masjid, so those Allah walas, they may be in the marketplace, they may be in the bazaars selling and buying, but their heart is in the masjid, that when is the next namaz time, they are looking all the time. Just as we keep on looking what time is the next show. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that because of all these bounties now, make salat. and make qurbani. So again there is a discussion of this qurbani, but we cannot go into all the detailed aspects. I have been discussing these over the past years. But just to repeat one or two things, that this qurbani, unfortunately now, it has become like how outsourcing, we do outsourcing. A lot of companies are doing outsourcing now. So like that, the qurbani also we are doing outsourcing. That we just look at some pamphlets, some posters, some advertisement, and then we say, send our money away, they're finished. So all the nafil qurbani a person can send wherever he wants. But if he is not living in a flat, if it is convenient for him to do the qurbani, or there are facilities that are provided where a person can go and see his animal and slaughter the animal, so then at least do one or two qurbani which our children will observe so that it does not disappear and vanish from our family lives. If children are not going to see the qurbani and the only thing they know is that my father or mother used to take 10 rand, 100 rand, 500 rand and give it to somebody and they used to do some qurbani somewhere, so then they will not have the ahmiyat and the importance of this qurbani in their lives. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the person who has got the ability to make qurbani and he does not make qurbani, then he must not even come to our idgah. Now we say that how much is required for qurbani? They say, Maulana, look for some cheap animal somewhere if you can find one to slaughter. It's not a question of finding a cheap animal. The nafil qurbani, 100 rand, 50 rand, whatever they advertise, if you want to make qurbani, make. But for those people on whom qurbani is wajib and they have the wealth, sufficient wealth, then even if they are sending outside, they must try to send for that wajib qurbani at least that much money which they would have spent on an animal in their locality where they would have been making the qurbani. Now look at that qurbani animal. I'm not going into the masail of qurbani, but the qurbani animal itself is giving us so much of lessons that here's an animal. But it is not only giving its flesh and its bones, it is giving its total life. This person has merely purchased it for a few hundred rands, and here it is giving its full life. So, O man, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is addressing us as if to say that I have given you life, I have given you wealth, I have given you health, I have given you so much of ni'mats and bounties. So therefore now you should make qurbani. And the true qurbani is that you should be giving your life. Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, when Hazrat Ibrahim was putting the knife on his throat, at that time he did not know that this knife was not going to cut. It was not a question that he was informed long before time that don't worry, one ram will take the place of your son. So you just put the knife, but it's not going to cut. Then would there have been any kind of sacrifice if a person knows beforehand that the knife was not going to cut? He was not informed of that. He was truly believing that this knife is going to take away the life of my dear beloved son Ismail, and a son that he was blessed with at an old age and after so much of du'as, and who had helped him, or who was going to be a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and his helper in the construction of the Kaaba Sharif. Now this knife, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, about the age of 12, now to put that knife on the throat of such a beloved son, you think it's an easy thing. So the lesson was that the thing that was most beloved to the person should have been sacrificed. It is only Allah Ta'ala's ihsan that he did not ask us to sacrifice our children or our sons. Which person would have been able to do that? So Allah Ta'ala made it easy, he replaced Ismail with a ram. So when we are making qurbani, that jazbah must be there, that of qurbani, that the person buys the best animal, again not for show business. Lots of people have bought beautiful animals worth thousands of rands, and in other countries where the animals sell in rupees or other currencies, you go and find out from the people who sell those animals. They say people bought those animals years ago, they haven't even paid for it as yet. And even in our country, so many farmers are complaining, and they say that now we do not want to even accept checks. We want cash, because these people take the animals for sacrifice and they sacrifice us also in the process. That knife they place over our business also. So this knife should have been placed over our egos, our passions, our evil desires. When does the sun rise? The sun rises after the horizon has turned red. Go and watch at the beachside when the sun is rising. First the horizon will turn red. Thereafter that whole ball of the sun will come out. So first we have to turn the horizons of our heart, or the red with the blood of our evil desires. Place the knife over our evil desires. Let the blood run over our heart. And when the evil desires will cover the heart, or the blood of the evil desires, then the sun of the muhabbat and the love of Allah Ta'ala will rise in the heart. And then that sun of the muhabbat and love of Allah is something that will make us restrain ourselves from everything that is displeasing to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. At present there is nothing, there is no resistance power at all. Every vehicle in the world is made with some kind of a brake. Whether it's a car or a scooter or a motorcycle or it is a truck or an aeroplane or anything, every vehicle has got some kind of a brake. And our vehicles are just running without brakes. The temptations from all sides are going to invite us now. It's the month of December. So we don't say it is haram to go and live in the beachfront or go and do business in the beachfront or do any other kind of activity which is permissible and halal. But then look at the attractions and look at the distractions and look at the temptations that are all around. Now how many of us have got that kind of resistance power? So at that time this Qurbani gives us a lesson that there will be temptation, and nobody says you are prohibited from going and doing business in those areas or even touring or staying there. But when those temptations come before us, then at that time we put the knife over the evil desires and temptations. Let the blood of those evil desires flow. Then you see what kind of sukoon we get in our hearts. Otherwise the whole world is nothing but complaint of restlessness, anxieties, worries, problems. Uska sukoon chin gaya. The person's sukoon is snatched away. The person who engages in any kind of haram. So this qurbani, it is wajib on any person who has got wealth which is to the value of nisab, over and above his needs. It is not like zakat that it has to be 1 year and all the other details that go with it. On the day of qurbani, if a person has got wealth to the value of nisab, the gold nisab itself is only about 2,500 or so at present. Silver nisab is even less. 3 ounces of gold or 21 ounces of silver, or its equivalent in cash or merchandise for sale. If a person has over and above his needs, then qurbani becomes wajib. Now there are people who say that we don't have the money for qurbani, but they are sitting with hi-fi TVs and they are sitting with all kinds of furniture and ornaments and everything running into thousands of rands, and they say we don't have the money to make qurbani. So at such a time the person must sell that. For the love of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the person must make qurbani. So to bring the importance of the qurbani in the life, and then again that issue of poverty indeed, to feed the poor and the needy is a duty of those who have been given wealth by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But is it only for the day of Eid? That qurbani is not only for the sake of feeding the poor and the needy. That is the benefit of qurbani. Just as in Ramadan we said fasting, there are lots of benefits of fasting, but it is not the purpose and maqsad of making fast obligatory upon us. The purpose was لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you have taqwa. So here also Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. The flesh and the blood does not reach Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is your taqwa. So indeed it is a great benefit to feed the poor, the meat and the flesh of those qurbani animals. So many poor people who haven't eaten meat for the whole year, they are benefiting. But that is not the maqsad. If that was the objective, then look at the masail of qurbani. That if the animal is blind, but it is a very, very fit, healthy animal, double the size of all the other animals, but it is blind. So you cannot make qurbani of the animal. It will not be valid. Now the question is that what is wrong with the meat of that animal? If that was the objective, to distribute meat to the poor, now here's an animal, it's very fat, very fit, very healthy. Which poor person has ever asked the person who slaughters the animal that please send me the eyes, I want to have it baked or roasted or toasted? Does anybody say, must give me the eyes? Now here's an animal that is blind, but we say qurbani is not valid. 1/3 of the ear is cut off, we say the qurbani is not valid. Has anybody been very particular that when you made qurbani, please send me the ears? How will it benefit the poor and needy? that ear. In the same way, if the animal is limping, it can't walk to the place where you're going to slaughter the animal, then the qurbani is not valid. If the animal is less than a year old, the goat and the sheep, but if the sheep look like a full year animal, although it is 6 months and above, it is valid. Now all these restrictions must be this of this age and must have these qualities. What does that indicate? Doesn't it clearly indicate that it is not only the flesh and the bones, and it is not only distribution to the poor? If a person has to sacrifice 1,000 animals, 1,000 or 1 million animals, before the Eid namaz has taken place, at least one Eid namaz in that locality, if it hasn't taken place, then it is not permissible, that the qurbani is not valid. Now I ask you a simple question, that 1 million animals the person sacrificed, but only thing he did it before Subuh Sadiq, or before sunrise, or before the Eid namaz had taken place. Now if it was for distribution of meat to the poor and needy, then how does that cause any kind of problem? So it is not that is not the objective. So we have to understand that it is to bring that spirit of qurbani into our hearts. And to conclude, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that he not only made qurbani on his own behalf, but on behalf of the ummah also. So the person must make his qurbani with a happy heart, and at least do one qurbani in front of the children. There's so much that can be said with regards to this issue, but the time runs very, very fast. So I conclude and make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal. Allah ta'ala light up our hearts with the muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we are sacrificing, Allah ta'ala must give us that spirit of sacrifice in our hearts. It must not be for name, for fame, for show. Lots of people just buy animals for show. Then what will they gain? May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering and problem of the ummah around the globe, and bless the ummah with the best of dunya and best of akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.